There's a big debate in education on whether the MBA is still a relevant qualification in a fast-paced economy where short courses have become more prevalent. But it seems the MBA degree isn't going anywhere. In fact, it has evolved to meet the needs of the modern economy. And to discuss this further, we're joined by Andrew Horsfall, CEO of Mill Park Education. Hi, Andrew. Thanks very much for your time. I guess that's an interesting place to start. Are MBAs still relevant? And I guess people would want to know, will it give me a bigger salary?
Yeah, nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on your show. I think from my point of view, you know, higher education as a whole, to some degree, is being challenged. But I think people misunderstand what we mean by higher education in contrast to other forms of education. So I think MBAs are a critical form of higher education. As society changes, the need for them to adapt and respond is really critical. So I think, you know, going forward, they're definitely going to play still a major role in how we develop business leaders in South Africa.
All right, I want to come back to that and how the content has evolved over time. But MBA has been called the divorce degree. Is that true?
Well, certainly the MBA is quite a high impact degree in the sense that what you take on is quite a body of work. But I think, you know, the way I frame it is that for you to develop and change as a person, you have to go through something transformative. And I think, you know, that alludes to what I was saying earlier about the value of essentially a good higher education degree. But the idea is that you've got to do something meaningful, and the consequences of that change and shape you. And I think there are ways to manage that, but at the same time, if you go through an experience or a journey and at the end of the day you come through it the same person you were at the beginning, it wasn't really meaningful and it didn't really cause the change required for you to become a better person and become a more sort of rounded person.
Right, let's talk about the modern MBA, because the MBA has evolved, I'm pretty sure, quite significantly. We're in the digital age. There's a lot of content available online. And people might think, well, you know, short course, something that's going to take me 2 months or 3 months, maybe a little bit more, you know, for my appetite. But how would you argue that to somebody? It's like, well, what is he actually getting with the MBA, and how has the MBA evolved?
Well, I think there's two elements. I think we can talk through, and I will come to that now, the idea of how it's evolved in the modern era. But I think what I really want to make a comment on is this idea between the distinction and just getting information and going on short courses and what building, you know, a multi-scaffolded approach to education achieves. And I think, you know, the real value and the growing value is not knowing stuff. I think, you know, at the end of the day, the world, there's overwhelming amounts of information, and really it comes down to how you navigate that and how you're able to lead through that. And I think for me, you know, knowing stuff has become less and less important. It's more how you think. And how you collaborate with people and how you understand people, that's becoming a much more of a requirement in the modern era. And so for me, you know, short courses play a role in teaching you stuff, but because they are largely pieces of experiences or bundles of information that are disconnected from a scaffolding and a set of experiences that have been designed, you know, you don't tend to develop what we call, I mean, the educational speak for it is graduate attributes, or these underlying skills that get threaded together by the series of connected experiences that have been intentionally designed. And I think people misunderstand that because they trivialize a degree as being just simply knowing stuff and a lot of stuff, versus the idea that the educators in the background are actually intentionally shaping a set of experiences that develop other things, not just the content. And so MBA is at the top end of that, and it speaks to developing very specific skills outside of the content, using the content almost as a skeleton or a platform to enable the development of other skills. And so that's how MBAs have always been relevant and continue to be relevant. And I think now how we need to shift and adapt them in terms of, you know, the modern era is to start to recognize that the emphasis needs to move away from content and move towards the skills, particularly skills relating to EQ, knowing yourself, leadership of the modern era. So not this command control leadership or authoritarian leadership, more this, you know, leading by virtue of encouraging and bringing people along. And I think that takes quite a lot of skill. And I think, you know, the modern young upcoming people want to be led, not told. And I think that takes a different type of leader. And I think modern MBAs are needing to adapt to recognize that how they need to teach people to lead is different, and how they need to teach people to know about themselves is different, and how they need to learn how to collaborate with each other is different. And so those things are playing a role in how we curriculate our modern MBAs. And then I think just on the functional areas, you know, modern MBAs or have to adapt to the realities of technology, including ideas of, you know, online learning as opposed to, you know, forcing people to come into a sort of standardized environment. So those are the types of transitions that are happening in the modern MBA that are enabling more flexibility and more accessibility for that type of an education.
Right. I think one of the attractions of the MBA was this ability to network. I mean, I know a lot of people who found jobs after doing an MBA by meeting people on the program itself and putting their names forward when jobs became available. Is that your experience?
I think it's oversold. I think it's important, so I don't want to dismiss it out of hand, but I think, you know, you wouldn't do an MBA exclusively for the networking. So I think there's something else that must be there. I think networking is important, but I would frame it more as the camaraderie developed in a shared experience that's challenging and an understanding of going through something with a peer group. And so for me, that creates a sort of a formative experience that creates, for want of a better way of saying it, a brotherhood or a collegiate. And I think for me, those things create that network effect, because then people help each other out. They have an intuitive understanding of each other, and they know how their networks can facilitate people they know within the group. So for me, there is a definite value in that, but I wouldn't want to overstate it to imply that that's the majority of the value in that. And I think it does get characterized that way sometimes. But I would also, on the reverse, be very wary of joining an MBA that hasn't built a way of teaching and learning that facilitates the classroom experience, or at least the group experience or the cohort experience, because then you would struggle to have the network effect by virtue of the people that you meet.
Right. So in the beginning, I asked the question, are there good chances of me getting a better salary if I do an MBA? What do the stats show about that?
I think it's complicated. I'm reluctant to say stats, but I will say this, is that what people are actually asking when they ask that question is, does an MBA improve their ability to add value? Because your ability to get a salary is largely connected to your ability to add value in the context that you're in. And so if you reframe that question as, does it fundamentally change your ability to add value? I think it comes down to how you change and whether you participate in it in a way that facilitates your change. And I think if people go in it with the view of, I just need to know things and leave with the knowledge, I don't think it fundamentally changes the value that you're adding. If you figure out more about yourself, if you figure out more about how you lead, if you develop a degree of empathy towards different people and their context, if you understand the interrelationship of a business and how you can now see it through a different lens, I think then it speaks to your ability to add value and therefore your likelihood of getting an increase. And I think people should assess that within the context of where they're at. So if your job doesn't allow for the enablement of more value, then an MBA is not going to shift that. But if your job does allow you to, you know, enable more value by virtue of those experiences, then it will materially shift your ability to earn. So it tends to fork, because I think sometimes people do MBAs very functionally and not for actually a clearer underlying purpose in terms of their career trajectory.
Interesting. Now, I guess post-COVID, there's been quite a shift in education and the way that it's delivered. There's a lot more online learning that is happening. How has that changed the nature of education? And is it better? Does it give you access to better quality content? How would you describe that?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a wild west at the moment, in the sense that, you know, we've got these original historic models of education that are quite clearly defined, and everyone in the industry knows what they are, and students making decisions understand what they're getting. When it comes to the new world of online education, it ranges from, I suppose, PDFs online that you can download and essentially just read in your home, to immersive, engaged experiences that have been created and intentionally designed. And I think, so when we say online education or the use of technology, it's very important to understand what the institutions mean by that and how they're using that. But in terms of the general point, has technology created opportunities in education to create more value and to create better experiences? For sure. Because I think everyone knows the stereotypical thing of going to a class and seeing a lecturer that's essentially rereading the textbook to you or giving a very dry or static experience. Online enables you to be very intentional in the design. It brings an ability to essentially have different people collaborating on the learning experience and not just having the lecturer, you know, in the classroom on the stage presenting a once-off moment. It also allows for reorganizing resources, so you can now spend more time on other things, for example, consulting or small group environments or discussion environments that you wouldn't been able to justify in other environments because you would have had to essentially deploy those resources to create the teaching or lecturing environments in the first place. So I think there's a lot of new opportunities being opened up, particularly also in the line of like customized learning. In other words, I'm struggling here. I'd like some more ideas in terms of developing those skills. And then, you know, we can automatically redirect you to different experiences. And I think those are opportunities to give unique learning journeys and pathways to students that weren't otherwise available in the traditional model of education. But I think maybe the summary of that is it depends how it's done. That's the qualifier. And I think that's a big question that students need to be able to ask and answer, which requires educating themselves a little bit in terms of, you know, what online education actually is.
All right, and we're going to leave it there. That was Andrew Orswell, who is CEO of Milpark Education. Thanks very much, Andrew.
Only a pleasure. Thanks for having me.